Saturday night. How you guys doing? Welcome, welcome. Super glad you're here this weekend. Want to welcome those of you that are online as well. Hey, if you happen to be a guest at, here in the auditorium or maybe online, let me introduce myself. My name is Brian Anderson. I'm one of the pastors here at the Vineyard. I'm going to be giving the message in a moment. Where we're going to begin in the Bible, if you have a Bible or you have an app, is in the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 2, we're going to look at verse 30 in just a moment. You know, I want to pause for a moment and thank many of you for praying for me. Many of you know that I've been having a fairly serious neck problem for quite some time, and just over the last few weeks, it's become much worse, and I'm getting medical care and treatment and all that, one of the things that makes it really difficult for me is to raise my head up. And when I do that, like I'm doing now, there's extreme burning nerve pain that runs down my arm, into my hand, down my back. And one of the things that will relieve the pain for a moment is if I bow my head with my chin toward my chest. And so tonight, while I'm speaking, if you see me do that, it's not because I want to see how cool my shoes are. It's because I'm trying to get a little momentary relief from my pain. But thank you for praying for me, and I pray that you'll continue to do that. Hey, before we get into the message, yeah, thank you. I want to just mention our offering. You know, there are lots of ways that you and I can give financially to God through the Vineyard. And when we do that, it really does matter. And I know many of you are incredibly generous and faithful in your finances to God through our church. I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. It really does matter. So we're going to pause for a moment. Let's ask God to bless our offerings whenever we give those to Him, because we all do it at different times. But mostly what I want you to do is I want you to pray right now and say, God, would you speak to me tonight out of the Bible? Whether you're online or in person, would you speak to me? Okay, would you pray with me? Lord, thank you that we get to participate with you in your kingdom in so many ways. But one of the ways we get to do that, God, is by giving back to you financially. And as we're faithful to you, Lord, with our finances, we pray that you would bless them and you would bless us for our faithfulness. And now, God, as we look into the scriptures, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak very clearly to every single one of us, those that are watching online, those that are here in person, speak very, very clearly through me out of the Bible, God. And I need your empowering for that to happen. And so I ask you to do that. Lord, I'm so grateful that your word says that when we are weak, you are strong. And I'm asking you to be strong through the teaching of the scriptures right now. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So I've been doing a series for quite some time called Money, Sex, and Power. And last weekend, I began talking about sex. And I'm going to talk tonight again about sex. But before I do that, I want to give those of you that weren't able to either watch the service, you weren't able to be here, if you weren't able to watch online, I want to give you a little recap of two questions last weekend that I asked, and then I tried to answer biblically these two questions about human sexuality. The first is, if sex is such a great intimacy-producing activity, and it is, then why are there so many restrictive rules on it? So I tackled that question. And then I also tackled, why is it that affairs are so destructive? Again, if you weren't able to be here, you can catch up anytime by watching or listening online. So I'm going to give you two more questions about human sexuality that I want to try to answer out of the Bible today as well. The first one is, why should people pay the price to stay sexually pure? I mean, Brian, what are the benefits? What are the payoffs of sexual purity? You know, one of the illusions in our day is that you can't live a fulfilled, meaningful life without being sexually active. All kinds of people believe that. Maybe you believe that. Our culture tells it that all the time. But the Bible, on the other hand, says that while your sexuality is an essential part of your identity, sexual activity is not. In fact, the Bible says that Jesus lived the greatest and most meaningful life in the history of the world. And yet, Jesus was never sexually active. Jesus never engaged in sexual intimacy. Jesus was never married. He never engaged in sexual intimacy. And yet, his life was the greatest and most meaningful life ever lived. And so that illusion about sexual activity is a lie. But I want us just to be real about this. See, anybody who chooses to honor God with his or her sexuality in today's society faces a gigantic struggle just because of the nature of our society. You say, well, what do you mean? Well, first of all, if you're not married and you choose to honor God with your sexuality, you'll have to resist the pressure of sort of the single scene where sexual activity outside of marriage is generally just taken for granted. Secondly, whether you're married or unmarried, you will have to swim against the tide of a culture where sexual gratification is glamorized incessantly through television, movies, social media, on and on and on. And thirdly, if you choose to honor God with your sexuality, most of you will have to deal with a family that didn't equip you perfectly for sexual issues. See, the truth is, we live in a sex-crazed world where if you live with sexual purity, it is going to require a lot of effort. And any realistic person in our day is going to ask, is it really worth it? I mean, what's the payoff? So let's look at a few of the payoffs of honoring God with our sexuality. The first one is, if you choose to honor God with your sexuality, you will see the development of self-control in your life. I mean, learning to manage sexual desire with honesty and strength is one of the greatest challenges of human existence. It is not an easy thing to do at all. But there's an enormous gain in self-esteem and character and integrity when a person is able to say, I handled decisions about sexuality in a way that did not damage myself or others and was honoring to God. You gain confidence in your ability to stick to your values and to make wise decisions in all areas of your life when you do that. One of the things that you gain when you honor God with your sexuality is you gain the characteristic of self-control. You grow in self-control. And you might know that self-control is one of the 9 fruits of the Spirit that Paul the Apostle talks about in Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. A second payoff of staying sexually pure is if you choose to honor God with your sexuality, and if you do get married in the future, you will have much greater freedom in that relationship and a lot less baggage. The Bible teaches that physical intimacy between two people should only increase where commitment increases. It should happen within biblical boundaries. And the Bible says that when sexual activity gets ahead of the commitment that two people make to each other, there's going to be trouble. See, if that happens, there's going to be damage to your conscience. There's going to be damage to your relationship with that person. That relationship will have an unholy foundation. In fact, husbands, if you engaged in premarital sex with your now wife, you need to ask her to forgive you for that. And wives, you need to ask your husbands to forgive you for that as well. Because that relationship started with an unholy foundation. And you need to forgive one another for that, because both of you, whether you know it consciously or not, you're struggling deep down with guilt over doing that. See, people who engage in premarital sex are going to experience damage to their spiritual lives. There will be a splintering of your soul. Why? Because the Bible says that when you have sex with another person, the two of you are now becoming one flesh. See, it's not just two bodies coming together. It's a soul connection. But, you know, I know what happens is that couples begin to rationalize. They say, well, you know, we're not married yet, but we're going to get married. We're in love with each other. We're really committed to each other. We're going to get married. And then they just rationalize almost any kind of physical intimacy between the two of them. Well, you need to know that the Bible is very clear about this. There's something about the act of a public, permanent, complete commitment that takes place in the marriage covenant that makes that relationship a safe place for the ultimate expression of physical intimacy. And the Bible says that outside of that relationship, physical intimacy at that level is completely off limits. Completely off limits. So, what are the benefits of honoring God with your sexuality? You will develop self-control in your life. You will have greater freedom and less baggage if you do get married in the future. And a third benefit of honoring God with your sexuality is you will have a clear conscience. I mean, there are few forms of guilt more powerful than sexual guilt. Few forms. You will have guilt over that if you get involved in sex outside of marriage. You will end up feeling guilty. And millions and millions and millions of people are struggling with that kind of guilt right now, even millions of Christians. And that's the kind of guilt that ruins a person's relationship with God. You know, Psalm 66:18 says, if I regard iniquity, sin, in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. I know that. I know that when I have sin, unconfessed sin, in my life to God, I know that God is not going to hear my prayers. Therefore, I don't have a clear conscience, and it ruins my relationship with God the Father. A fourth benefit of pursuing sexual purity and honoring God with your sexuality is if you get married in the future, your odds of having a successful marriage increase. greatly. Did you know that? You know, a lot of people today claim that a couple needs to live together first or be sexually active before marriage in order to find out if they're sexually compatible with one another or not. But you need to know the research on this is very clear. A researcher named Roger Hillerstrom, he did a study and discovered this, that if a couple lives together before they get married, then before their fifth anniversary, they have a 35% chance that they will be divorced. Before their fifth anniversary, 35% chance if they were sexually active or lived together before marriage. And yet, if a couple doesn't live together before marriage, there's only a 19% chance of divorce before the fifth anniversary. The odds of divorce almost double when a couple lives together before marriage. Psychologist David Myers, he noted 7 separate studies that have been done in recent years. And every one of them points to the same finding. People who cohabit with their spouse-to-be have a much higher divorce rate than those who don't. See, the research is just bearing out what the Bible says. I had you turn earlier to 1 Samuel 2, verse 30. God says, "Those who honor me, I will honor. But those who despise me," God says, "will be lightly esteemed." If you honor God's value, that sexual intimacy is to be reserved for marriage, there are enormous benefits to your life. Now, let me say a word to those of you who are not currently married. You're either divorced, widowed, or you've never been married. So you're unmarried right now, and yet you are in a sexually active relationship. The Bible is very clear that God's will is that sexual intimacy be reserved for a man and a woman who have made the commitment of marriage. And if you are a follower of Jesus and you are unmarried and yet you are currently sexually active, I want to ask you this question. Are you going to defy God in this area of your life? Because that is what you're doing. You are defying God. Are you going to say, "God, I know what your standard is. I know what the Bible says. But God, I am going to defy you in this area of my life. I'm going to shake my fist in your face, oh God, and I refuse to give you obedience in the sexual area of my life." I want you to know that is not a safe foundation to build a life on. It's not a safe foundation for you as an individual, and it's not a safe foundation for you as a couple in the future. You say, "Okay, Brian, well, what's the alternative?" Well, every year around here at the Vineyard, there are dozens and dozens and dozens of unmarried individuals and unmarried couples who make a decision that they are going to honor God with their sexual lives. And I want you to know that I have not known one single individual or one of those couples who made that kind of decision and regretted it. Not one. So I want to challenge you. Are you going to have the kind of courage it takes to say to God, I'm going to trust you with my sexuality. I'm going to honor you the best I can with my sexual life. Or are you just going to defy him? You know, in a few minutes, I'm going to give everybody, whether you're married or unmarried, an opportunity to make a commitment to God that you're going to honor God with your sexuality. But first, let me say one other word about this. If you've made mistakes in this area in the past, if you have regrets about your past sexual history, you need to be real clear about this. Sexual misconduct is not the unforgivable sin. It's not. Whatever your background is, whatever path that you've been down, God offers forgiveness and cleansing of your sexual history if you'll confess your sins to him and you'll repent of those sins now. You know, that's available to anybody who wants it. There's not one person that has to leave this service, whether you're online or here in the auditorium, not one person that has to leave here feeling guilty about past sexual sins. You can get them right with God right now. You know, the Bible says, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That even means sexual unrighteousness. You can be cleansed before you leave this service. You can get a new start right now. Right now, and you can make a new commitment to God and say, God, from now on, I want to honor you with my sexuality. I want to commit my sexuality to you and honor you with my sexuality. All right, that's the first question. Why should we pay the price to stay sexually pure? Second question I want to ask and hopefully answer out of the Bible is, how important is a vital sexual relationship to a marriage? I mean, Brian, how important is it really? I mean, how much of a difference does that really make in a marriage? And I know. Some of you right now, you are praying. And you're praying, oh God, let Brian say that sex is the single most important thing in the entire world. That sex in our marriage is right up there as important as air, food, and water. Maybe even a little more important than water. Because I will get the recording and I will play it over and over and over again for my spouse. I know some of you are praying that right now. And what do we call those people? Mostly we call them men. Mostly we call them men. And not only do we call them mostly men, we call them healthy. Healthy men and healthy women. Now you might say, oh, Brian, what do you mean by that? Well, a Christian psychologist surveyed hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of couples and found out that the answer to this question about how important is a vital sexual relationship to a marriage is quite complicated in its answer. He said this, quote, there are some couples who have low compatibility in their marriage. They have differences that threaten their relationship. Their relationship is on quite rocky ground. But they rate their sexual relationship very highly. He says one couple actually said that they both keep their eyes closed during sex because as good as their sex is, they can't even stand the thought of being with each other, let alone making love to one another. So they keep their eyes closed. So there's no guarantee of a great marriage just because you have a great sex life. This Christian psychologist goes on and says, quote, "On the other hand, there are some couples who feel like their sexual relationship is not very satisfying, but they genuinely love each other and they would not consider leaving the marriage." And then he says this, "There are some cases where it varies somewhat over time. However, as a general rule, a couple's sexual relationship is an extremely important part of their marriage." He goes on and says, "I have never seen what I would call, quote, a triumphant marriage in which the sexual relationship was disappointing." Then he says this, "I believe that if we could teach every married couple in America to improve their sexual relationship by just 10%, we could lower the divorce rate in America by more than 10%. Further, we can increase the marital satisfaction rate enormously." Why? Because every couple in America would suddenly have a sexual relationship that's 10% better. And even more important, he says, every couple would have a sense of hope. It's hope that brings about an acceleration of marital growth. This is a very powerful dynamic. When a couple sees that improvement is actually possible, that growth is possible, it creates hope. And when people have hope, they can work incredibly hard. So I'd like to close by laying out four steps for every married couple to make a 10% gain in the sexual area of your marriage. Four steps. The first step is you both must be willing to try. You both must be willing to try. If you can just say to each other that you'd be willing to work on your sex life for 6 months, you've already got the first step down. And you know, the truth is, this is sort of ironic to me. I mean, we live in a culture where we are self-improvement junkies. We do all kinds of things to try to improve all kinds of areas of our life. We go to seminars, and we listen to TED Talks, and we listen to podcasts, and we read books, and we do all kinds of things to try to improve all different kinds of parts of our life. Everything from our golf game, to our cooking ability, to our finances, to our physical lives, to our diet. I mean, just go on and on and on. And yet, for many couples, they've never given any thought to their sexual lives together, to how they could grow and improve in that. So the first step is for both partners to just say, "I'm willing to try. I'm willing to try." Now, the key here, you need to be aware of this, is that you're not going for perfection. This is just a 10% deal. Don't have unrealistic expectations about what's going to happen if you both begin to work on improving your sex life. You are not going to have the 4th of July every night. Maybe just Columbus Day or Groundhog Day or whatever. But you're just going for a 10%. But just agree that you're willing to try. All right, the second step of improving your sex life in a marriage is get a good book about marital sex. Many of you have never read a Christian book about sex. You just haven't. So I want to recommend a couple of really good books, Christian books about marital sex. One is called Intended for Pleasure by Dr. Ed Wheat. And the other one is The Gift of Sex by Cliff and Joyce Pinner. Buy a good Christian book on this subject and read it. In fact, you might even want to read it to each other out loud. You know, maybe a chapter a week or something. Third thing that will help increase sexual satisfaction in marriage is if either of you have experienced sexual trauma in your past, begin the healing process by seeing a Christian counselor. If you've experienced sexual trauma, and so many people have, obviously, it can be absolutely crippling to a physical relationship. So you need to begin some healing. And then the fourth thing that'll help increase sexual satisfaction in marriage is learn to talk freely as a couple about your sexual feelings and desires. You know, this is an important step because there are very real differences in sexual relating patterns between a man and a woman. See, oftentimes the wife requires deep connectedness with her husband in order for there to be sexual intimacy. She needs the two of you to be bonded, not just physically, but also emotionally. There needs to be an intimate, gentle, cherishing of each other's souls. And then it may be that the husband, he just requires geographic proximity with his wife in order to be sexually stimulated. You know, maybe he's a much simpler creature, and just as long as he's in the same time-space continuum as his wife, you know, that's all he really needs. But all those kinds of differences are very important, and they need to be talked about. So the bottom line is this. God's plan for you is that the marriage you're in will be the one that you're in until you die. That's God's plan for you. And you know what? God wants it to be a great marriage. A great marriage in every way, but also sexually. So those four steps, try, learn, heal, and talk. You know, we can do those four things. And if we do, you know what? We'll see growth. And that growth will produce hope inside of us. So let me close by asking every one of us to make this commitment, whether you're married or unmarried. I've written it down on your outline. I'm going to deal with my sexuality in a God-honoring way from here to the end of my life. I challenge every person to make that commitment. I'm going to deal with my sexuality the best I can in a God-honoring way. Not that we never make mistakes, not that we're going to be perfect, but I want to do this in a God-honoring way from now until the end of my life. You know, what if Vineyard North Phoenix became known as a place where unmarried people were super valued and super honored, and where sexual purity became a realistic option? You know, not just some pipe dream, but where sexual purity became applauded and sexual purity became respected among all of us. And what if those who are married, what if we committed ourselves to pursuing love and romance and passion as best we can with God's help. And what if our children grew up with wise counsel and wise guidance in this area of their life? You know what would happen? We would become an oasis of sexual sanity in a sex-crazed world. We would become a source of life to everybody that came around us. And you know what the good news is? The good news is we can do this. You can do this. Let's pray. You know, right now, I want to challenge you in your heart, whether you're online or in person. It's between you and God. But I want to challenge you to say to God, God, from now to the end of my life, I want to do my best to honor you with my sexuality. Maybe you need to ask God right now to forgive you for certain things in your past, maybe certain things that are going on right now, I don't know. But he will immediately forgive you and cleanse you and give you a brand new start as if it never happened. If you'll confess those sins to him right now, he will cleanse you from all of that unrighteousness. For some of you, you need to make a commitment to God that you need to start down the road of healing in your sexual life. You have sexual brokenness in your past. You've been sinned against. You have sexual trauma. But maybe you haven't really done anything about it or much of anything. You need to say, okay, God, I want to begin the road of healing. I'm going to start getting Christian counseling. I'm going to go to a group. I'm going to do some things to begin to go down that road. Maybe as a married couple, you need to say, okay, God, I want to really have us improve our sex life. Show us how to do that. Buy a good book. Make a commitment. Talk to your spouse. Honey, I'd really like us to try to improve in this area of our life. 10%. Let's make the effort. If you have any kind of prayer requests before you go, we would love to pray for you. If you're here in person, we're going to have a ministry team up here at the front. We'd love to pray for you after the service. Don't forget, tonight at Saturday Night at VC, we have a movie where we're going to do it outside, but because of the wind coming up and all that, we're afraid it might blow down the screen and all that, so we're moving it into the high school auditorium. I think it's the movie Inside Out. We have a great meal at a very inexpensive price that we always have on Saturday nights at VC, so feel free to stick around. Those of you that are online, if you'd like somebody to pray for you online, just hit the live prayer button on your screen. We'd love to pray for you. And then next weekend, I'm going to continue in this series of money, sex, and power, but only in 2 weeks. We only have 2 weeks till Easter. So on your way out, if you're here in person, there are some six-packs, special six-packs with cards that are inviting people to Easter. Pick up one of those six-packs, six of those cards. Make it a goal that you're going to invite at least six people to an Easter service. They can come online, they can come in person, but you never know what God might do with our simple invitations. If you're online, I encourage you to send some Evites out, make some phone calls, send some texts. Let's really ask God to use us to make a difference in people's lives, especially those who don't know Christ. Those who are far from God, those that have backslidden, walked away, we really want to impact their lives this Easter. And I truly believe if they will be at the Vineyard, God will touch them in a very, very powerful way. You can make a difference. Would you stand? I want to pray over us before we go. And if the ministry team would come up right now. Lord, thank you for your presence here. Thank you that you've given us incredible wisdom about human sexuality in your word, Lord. We're so, so grateful. Help us, Lord, to begin to live out the different commitments that many of us made today. I pray that you would bless every one of us as we go now, Lord. Bless us, keep us, cause your face to shine upon us, be gracious to us. Lift up your favor upon us, Lord, and give us peace now. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Say hi. Give a wave to people on your way out. Have a great night. We'll see you soon.